Raised by Soundfest is coming Saturday, December 7th. Go to raisedbysoundfest.com for more information.
WYXR 91.7 FM, Memphis, Tennessee, the station with the city soul that's raised by sound here on a Monday night. My name is Jared J.B. Boyd. Check it out to talk about, we're talking Memphis. That's what we always do on a Monday at 7 p.m. We still haven't updated the clock in the studio. It still says 8. Come on, y'all. We roll back an hour, okay? Okay, let's catch up. That's all right. We'll get the facilities at the WYXR studio going okay soon. But you're doing all right. It's a Monday night. Tomorrow is election day, as Chip let everyone know emphatically. You got a duty to go out and make your voice heard. And if you're hearing me, then you might be wondering what we're talking about on Talking Memphis today. And you also probably know that we always have incredible guests. Once again, we're back with you to share a bit of information about the Crosstown Arts Residency. Yeah, you get a close up to the mic. There you go. And we've got a multidisciplinary artist, a very, I'd say, astoundingly diverse artist here. Jen Choi, how you doing?
Good, how are you? Thanks
doing
for having
me. Absolutely, absolutely. So, welcome to WYXR, but also welcome to Memphis. Is this your first time being
yes.
in Memphis?
Yes.
What's first impressions?
My first impression is weather.
Yeah.
It's I don't know why, but I thought it was going to be a lot cooler since I came here in mid-September. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I live in LA.
Yeah.
So I was expecting it to be much cooler, but apparently not.
It seems like it's almost still summer.
Right.
It's still a little warm right now as we speak. Welcome to the building. Welcome to Memphis. But also, I don't think I'm the person to welcome you to the residency. But I can only imagine that there was a warm welcome coming in mm-hmm. with as much as you've done in your career. What struck you about Memphis and about this residency that you wanted to apply and participate?
So I think I found about the residency program somewhere on a platform where they post all kinds of opportunities for artists. And then, you know, there aren't that many opportunities, residency programs that provide you with studio space, lodging, and a lot of facilities, welcoming, heartwarming feelings and everything. So I came here and I don't know, it's really amazing. They got a lot of great facilities for artists and also a lot of events so that, you know, artists can be exposed to the public in Memphis, things like that, yeah.
So, you know, I purposefully buried the lead on the type of work that you do, and there's a reason for that. I wanted you to be able to explain it, and because there's a breadth of different media and styles and conversations and dialogues that are happening around your work. So, and you've had quite a journey with that said. So for those who are listening at home, our listening audience that are sitting on the edge of their seats that want to know who Jen Choi is, we'll talk a bit about your biography, but can you explain your work to them?
Sure. I'm a visual artist, I also say I'm interdisciplinary or multidisciplinary artist, but usually I do sculpture, installations, drawings, sometimes performance videos, things like that. And my work is quite political. My work talks, well, before I moved to the US, it was addressing a lot of political issues that were happening, still happening in Korea. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to LA it was 2016, so like 8 years ago, for grad school. And then obviously I'm exposed to a lot of different discourse. And then a lot of quite different political landscape, but still relevant to me, my friends, my family, things like that. So my work has been addressing those things that I have been experiencing, But also, I don't think it's quite different from what I was interested in, which was basically a lot of like political issues around, well, identity, of course, but also social classes. So right now, my most recent projects are revolving around the theme of labor.
Mm.
You know, labor is the most basic thing that we can relate to as a human. Everybody works.
Yeah.
But also, I'm focused on like physical labor, immigrant labor, and how our society treats, you know, people just like us, but differently depending on the classes and, you know, physical labors and everything. Yeah, it's also because quite interesting because I moved here as an artist.
Yeah.
For grad school, which is probably the most privileged way of moving to the U.S.
Mm.
But after graduation, because artists usually work as someone else's studio assistant or art handlers, yeah, which I did also, or fabricator, which involves a lot of physical labor. So all those things make me realize how this capitalist society treats labor, physical labor, immigrant labor, that is most essential in our society, things like that.
I can only imagine that the insights of that experience of being introduced to these systems of American life while already having the context of, one, an adult, I mean, coming into it at a higher learning environment, but, and so being equipped with so much context from your home, but also just maturity of the level, you know, some people, if they might immigrate when they're very young, and it all sort of over time takes on a different sort of feeling and understanding. I mean, it doesn't necessarily ever always feel normal. There's several different influences converging in a family unit or in a young person's mind when they're, you know, taking from one place and put in another place. But yours seems like it came from a place of someone who knows how to study. I mean, that's a skill, is to know how to interpret information, evaluate information, how to input and output information and look at the results. I mean, I can only imagine that was an overwhelming experience just right away.
Yeah, but also it's not just my ability to study, but also, again, it's a privilege to be surrounded by people who are coming from different backgrounds, who are coming from a lot of different, you know, tools and resources. Mm. They're all really smart people,
yeah,
who have taught me a lot. My friends and colleagues are basically, they are my teachers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, when I first moved to, well, language barrier is one thing, so that was really the first year was really hard, but people who were around me were patient enough to kind of, you know, whenever I make mistakes or, you know, having a hard time to understand certain topics that are specific to American context and things like that, they helped me a lot navigating all those nuanced things, and also helped me kind of include all those nuanced sociopolitical information,
mm-hmm,
within my work.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, you know, art school is basically, you know, they talk about your art.
Yeah.
And obviously that helped me a lot. So I got a lot of help, I have to say. And also personally, coming from South Korea, that is culturally, politically tied to the United States and Japan and all the other countries. All those almost overwhelming information kind of started to make sense to me since I moved here. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, you brought some music for us to hang out. You know, we're going to chit-chat, but we're also going to hang out a little bit on Talking Memphis. Right. We got Jin Choi. First up, we got Exit Anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to it. You're listening to WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis, Talking Memphis. WYXR 91.7 FM, Memphis, Tennessee, the station with the city soul. That's Raised by Sound. Don't forget, Raised by Sound Fest is coming up. Don't you forget it. Don't you dare forget it. You're on Talkin' Memphis with JB. We got Jen Choi in the house. Jen, how you feeling, man?
It's good.
Tell me about that track. What is, when you got the opportunity to be on a radio show and the idea was like, I got to bring some music to, this is the first thing on your playlist. I mean, what brought this one into your sphere?
I was hoping that it would be rainy today, because that's the song that I listen to when it rains.
Oh, wow.
And I don't remember when I was first introduced to this song for the first time, but I remember one day I was sitting just outside of a building, and then it started to rain. But sometimes, you know, it rains, but it's still sunny.
Mm-hmm. Like a little shower.
Yeah, yeah. It was that kind of day, and it was just perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm usually very anxious all the time. Yeah. I'm like always worried about, okay, what's next? What do I have to do this evening? What do I have to do tomorrow? Things like that. I'm always anxious.
Yeah.
But when I was listening to this music, and then it started to rain, but with the sunlight, I was like, I can take a minute and just chill.
Yeah.
You know, and then it just stuck to me that way. That memory just stuck to me visually. And then after that, like whenever it rains, I usually listen to this music.
I mean, tell me about how music impacts your work. I mean, you got a studio upstairs now. I mean, is there always music playing, or is it something that's sort of immaterial or necessarily not relevant to your practice?
It's not directly impacting my work anyway, but sometimes music helps me deal with, like I said, like anxiety, or you know, when I'm at gym. You know, I listen to like a specific type of electronic dance music.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I like singing. I like karaoke, but also it's very private to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I live in LA, so whenever I drive back home at night from my studio, I usually sing very loud. That makes me kind of release some tension that had been built up during the day.
Yeah.
So music kind of helps me mostly relieving some tension. Yeah.
You know, I think about music as sort of my biggest tool to be able to bring people together and create spaces. I know you created Space One. Can you tell me about the method of that particular space and what it was like to have a physical place where people can celebrate art and how it all came together? And tell people, I mean, at home who aren't even familiar with what it is, Space One.
You mean my studio space? Are you talking about my studio space?
Yeah, you created a studio space in back in Korea before coming to Los Angeles. Is that correct? You are co-founder of a studio space?
Oh, you're talking about... Okay. It's called Space... It doesn't exist anymore, but it was called Space One.
Yes.
So the whole idea was... the idea was, okay, when we have the first event, we're going to call it Space One.
Mm-hmm.
And since the idea is nomadic, meaning we would have an event in a different location next time,
mm-hmm.
whenever we find a space sponsor.
Yeah.
And we were going to call it Space 2, Space 3. So that was the idea. And it's an artist-run space, meaning not a commercial gallery run by some rich people.
Right.
Not a huge institution like museums.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally a space run by artists who want to support, you know, fellow artists. And the idea was, in Seoul at the time, now it's better, but at the time it was 2012, at the time there were not a lot of spaces, galleries, museums for artists like me who just graduated fresh out of school.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, all of my friends are really talented artists, and I thought it was so weird that they don't have any opportunity to exhibit their work. So mm-hmm. that was the idea, and that's how I started Space One.
Well, I sort of asked to see if there are any parallels between that creative community and the one that you're a part of when you're in Los Angeles and the one that you've been able to get to know here while you're in Crosstown, which I mean, we've got our WYXR studio, we've got Matt Ross Spang upstairs cutting records, we've got Memphis Listening Lab down the hall, we've got the green room, we got the theater, and so much is going on in sort of my creative ecosystem. I'm curious to sort of get inside what the residency is like as far as people being able to collaborate and sort of bounce ideas off of one another.
Yeah, it's really amazing, cause, and also that's what a residency program is supposed to be. You know, it's literally bringing artists from different backgrounds to one place and encourage them to exchange ideas and collaborate with each other, things like that. And in our group, there are 6 people, including myself, and visual artists, but also musicians and writers. They're all amazing people. And also, we're constantly exposed to, like, music is always playing here.
Yeah.
And also, there are art galleries on the second floor. We had, was it two weeks ago? We had an artist talk where we talked about some parts of our individual practice. And yeah, it's just a constant inspiration here, which is amazing. Because in LA, I spend most of my time alone, either at home or in my studio. So I don't really like run into other artists, writers, musicians like this here.
Yeah. Well, we got more music. Jen, I'm learning, I'm growing here. I want to know a little bit more about your experience in the residency. When we get back to Crosstown Arts Residency, you can find more information about it at crosstownarts.org. How about Around by Luz? You know, I'm having trouble with these pronunciations. How about we just listen to the music? We'll get into it.
All right.
You're listening to Talking Memphis on WYXR 91.7 FM.
Thank you.
I'm learning. I made my first misnomer. I refer to this as K-pop. This is not necessarily K-pop. I've learned today. On the other end, if someone said something about Memphis music and got it wrong, I'm the first person to jump on it. So thank you for politely letting me know that I was wrong. That said, we do have Heart of Asia on Saturday mornings with our wonderful host Allie Wright, who loves and adores K-pop, which I think is one of the most amazing things about our radio station, is that we have all sorts of sounds happening all over the place, and they all connect to our community because it all comes from people who are in our community. And Jen, we appreciate having you in our community and for this time that you'll be in the Crosstown Arts Residency. I mean, what was the process of applying and hearing back that you'd be able to come out I'd love to hear more about just what your day-to-day has been like, as far as, you know, I know that they don't really mandate how much work you're supposed to do when you're here. They sort of give you the tools to do it. And what has that experience been like for you?
It's been pretty amazing because literally this program, like you said, they don't have any specific, you know, like rules or anything for artists. It's literally, you know, you are supposed to do whatever you want to do. And since recently I had a big solo show in LA, and also a group show that I organized with a couple of my fellow artists. So it was kind of like it was early October. So I came here mid-September. I was working on those shows. I went back to LA late December, put up the show, group show. Solo show was already open early September, but and then I came back. So it was kind of like a closure of a chapter of my projects. So right now I'm catching up with the readings that I have been meaning to catch up. So a lot of readings are about different artists working on different ideas, but mostly around the idea of decolonization, but also like in what way. So for example, this specific book I'm reading, it's called Publishing as Practice. And that is just the book about two collectives and one artist, and how they elaborate their ideas through publishing as a practice, like a bookmaking, zine making, or kind of archiving as well as part of the practice as well, which has been really amazing. Another book I was reading is an artist book by really well-known artist, Camila Jenin Rashid. And she is an amazing artist, visual artist, but I think you could also say she's a writer, because a lot of her work is visually almost collaging different kinds of writings that she, like it could be quotes, it could be her own essay, it could be her own memos, but she does a lot of like collaging, and it's visually creating a lot of different layers of different thoughts, and so different thoughts and writings are kind of clashing with each other, but that weird clash makes you think, you know. And that's been, so I was like on YouTube, I was listening to one of her artists talk, which was really amazing. So I'm kind of like in the stage where I'm kind of researching, reading, developing my idea, and getting inspired by other artists, but also how can I create the next project that is really authentic, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it seems like history is a huge tool that you use to be able to guide you in that regard. Is
absolutely
that fair?
Absolutely.
So the reading is a big part of that. I relate to that as well. I'm excited to go home and read tonight. I'm chomping at the bit to go home and read right now. Although I am thoroughly enjoying the time we're spending together and being able to present your story to our listeners. So are there any other media that maybe you aren't necessarily participating in? We talked about music, and now we're talking about literature. That inspires your work, or maybe even people, conversations, you know, folks that you look to as an analog or maybe a sounding board to be able to progress your work further?
I mean, right now I'm focused on reading mainly right now, but obviously talking to my friends. So a couple of my friends and I are actually organizing a screening right now. Hmm. But that screening is not exhibiting our video works. We are inviting 4 artists and their films. The screening is happening in LA, but I'm on Zoom. I'm joining on Zoom to interpret 2 of the artists because 2 of them are Korean artists. So I'm kind of like translating and interpreting for their artist talk. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to, obviously, to do that, you have to be really familiar with their works.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw their films that are featured in the screening, but I have to know better to be able to, you know, smoothly interpret. And so video is right now their films. And when people say film, a lot of people think about movies or TV shows. But these films by individual artists is a complete different thing. It's usually it's shorter. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more difficult to understand because sometimes, you know, it's not linear narrative that you can follow. So it's a completely different language that I'm trying to get myself familiarized. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we got our next song up here. I think I've given up on some of the pronunciations.
That's fine.
I like the grooves, though. We've been enjoying it. You're chilling with Jen Choi, Jared J.B. Boyd. On Talking Memphis, we're talking about Jen's experience with the Crosstown Arts Residency, your life, your career, so many things that you've got going on. But right now, we're going to take a little pause for some music. See you in a bit.
Stay with me, my own account of the world.
WYXR 91.7 FM, Memphis. We're still hanging here with Jen Choi. It's Jared J.B. Boyd. We're talking about the Crosstown Arts Residency. Having fun, man. Jen, you still all right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're on the eve of a very prescient moment in American history and in our political landscape. I know that you mentioned, I mean, labor and politics and socio-political, socio-economics play a huge part in not only the work that you put into your practice, but how people perceive it in the conversation, the dialogue that happened thereafter. I mean, could you share a thought, not necessarily on the election tomorrow, because I don't want to talk about that on air, but on how art can move and motivate, you know, political movements, and what role artists can play in pushing the narrative beyond, or pushing community beyond just casting a vote. I mean, there's so much more that can be said and done in the three years and 364 days that are an election day to be able to impact your community, and artists have an opportunity to do that.
Right. It's a really complicated question to answer because, well, there are so many layers.
Yeah.
Well,
my bad.
No. Individually, I think art has a lot of potential to influence somebody. Writers, musicians, artists, you know, through their lives experience and also through their medium, you know, obviously you can impact a lot. I don't necessarily think art can change the world. Art can change something super tangible or whatever, but I think it has a lot of potential to influence individuals, because that's how I learned a lot of different things from my friends, because a lot of my friends from different backgrounds, different identities, different history of, you know, immigrations and things like that, they, through their work, when I moved to the United States, when I moved to LA, I learned a lot about people coming from different backgrounds, because that's a completely different world that I didn't know at all before I moved to the US. So again, like a lot of amazing artists, my friends, teachers, faculties, they all taught me about different worlds and different people's experience, different people's struggle, and they helped me understand them better in a way. And American politics as well. I mean, obviously, Korea's political landscape is very much tied to Japan and the United States, China, North Korea as well. So, I think in general, Korean people know better about American politics than American people know about Korean politics.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But again, like, I learned a lot about things from my friends and their perspectives. So, you know, for example, a lot of people think, you know, voting is really important. I agree. But nowadays, because of the whole like genocide against Palestinian people, you know, Palestinian American people right now against voting, casting votes, because none of the parties kind of, you know, both of the parties have failed them apparently throughout the whole history, you know, decades and decades of the history. They have been trying to win their vote every time there is an election, but obviously it has failed them. So I'm not an American citizen, so I can't vote, but I'm mostly right now spending my time to listen to Palestinian voice to understand, you know, their struggle. And also, genocide is happening right now. It's been more than 1 year, and I don't think we can just, I mean, it's not just 1 year, because since the first Nakba, it's been basically constant oppression against Palestinian people. But I think it is really important time for all of us to listen to Palestinian people. And going back to your question, I'm looking up also a lot of Palestinian artists' practices, like writers, painters. Also, there is one of the current resident artists here at Crosstown Arts,
mm-hmm.
Arij, is Palestinian American artist.
Mm.
she works a lot of textile works, textile sculptures, wearable textile works as well. Amazing work, beautiful work. So you can also learn from her about the Palestinian crafts, beautiful crafts, and how those crafts influenced other cultures as well, things like that. So I think, you know, art can art has a lot of potential, but maybe not like a direct social change.
Sure. Yeah. Switching gears, you spoke a bit about what Cross Island Arts does that a residency is truly supposed to do, about how it brings people together. Can you tell me about, I mean, you've done several residencies prior to arriving here. Tell me a bit more about those experiences and how they grew your practice.
It's a great opportunity for artists to meet different artists from different places, different stages of their careers. You know, obviously every residency program has different programs, different focus. Some residency programs are only bringing visual artists. Residency programs like Crosstown Arts bring writers, musicians, all kinds of artists. So there is a lot more diversity, which is really cool. But mainly what I learned from this experience is that, you know, oftentimes, especially for a lot of visual artists, they work alone in their studio. So you often get tunnel visioned. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
But through those exchange with a couple of weeks or a couple of months, it's an intense exchange because you literally live together and you see each other constantly. And through artist talk or just casual conversation, you learn about their practice and their experiences. So oftentimes, this artist has been working on a similar idea, but through a completely different medium, through a completely different lens, perspective, things like that. So, yeah.
Can you tell me about, as an interdisciplinary artist, oh my gosh, my tongue's getting in my own way today. What your thought process is of how to invoke or evoke a particular thought and how to use the senses of sight and sound and touch and all of those things, texture, different materials and all that, to be able to express and show your work in public spaces. I know you work a lot in public spaces and how to gather people around a piece and the idea that is enveloped in that piece. I mean, is there a methodology of how to get started on a particular work and what medium to choose and how to best arrive at presenting a full fleshed out thought?
I think it's different every time, but mostly I would say, I think it's safe to say that I'm starting from maybe reading or research, maybe not even intentional research. Maybe I would just scroll down on my phone and find a specific thing on Instagram, something happening in the world or something about my neighborhood that I didn't know. You know, things like that, and then that gets me curious, and then I try to learn more about that. For example, in my studio, around my studio in LA, it's in downtown LA, and it's, if you maybe drive like 5 minutes south, there is a couple of garment factories there, and I just got curious and started to visit them and to see what it is like, what the industry is like, things like that, and start to visit them and start the conversation and then interview them. And then they had a lot of scrap fabrics that are thrown away every day. So that they fill up the dumpster quite quickly. And then I saw them, and then, you know, sculpture is, I call myself interdisciplinary artist, but still sculpture is my main medium.
Yeah.
So whenever I see something interesting, like something physical that looks very interesting, I kind of start to play with those. Mm-hmm. So I collected those scrap fabrics, and then because those scrap fabrics are basically cut out of the final products, meaning, you know, like the cutout piece from maybe like the shape of our t-shirts, things like that. So they all have very unique shape. And then I kind of started to puzzle them together to make a bigger piece, like a collage, fabric collage. And then, yeah, so for example, that's that piece is called Before the Last Spike. And that's how that I started the piece. It was just, I happened to visit local garment factories and I saw those materials and then picked up and then started to play with those.
Amazing. Well, let's get into another song. We got Run With Me. You want to jump into that one?
Sure.
All right, we're with Jen Choi. It's Jerry J.B. Boyd. We're on Talking Memphis. Thanks for listening on a Monday night.
Yeah. 내게 다가오는 아름다운 날들 우린 서로 마냥 끌렸지 babe 우린 마치 자석 같았어 아름다운 내 손을 처음 잡았을 때나 느껴지는 너와 나 둘만의 사랑 Baby yeah Oh yeah Oh baby 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 I love you baby 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 Yeah 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 Oh yes you are
WYXR 91.7 FM, Memphis, Tennessee. Jen Choi hanging out. Is there somewhere people can find you and find out more about your story, about your art, that you can direct people towards?
Sure. My website is literally myname.com, jinseokchoi.com, JINSEOKCHOI.com. That's my website where I usually, it's like online portfolio. Right now, my solo show is up at Art Center College of Design in Pasadena, California, and you can find it. You can just Google Art Center College of Design exhibitions, and you'll find the website. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Well, fantastic to have you in Memphis as a part of the Crosstown Arts Residency, and hope to see you again.
Likewise. Thanks Absolutely. A lot.
Cheers.
Don't let all the cold air in. Looks like we're all back again. If you're feeling broke.